Hi, and welcome to In the Studio. I'm Redbeard, with the stories behind the greatest rock and roll albums in history.
You're welcome. Guitar up. One, two, three.
Today, In the Studio, it's the final album by the Jimi Hendrix Experience.
So hard to get through to you.
We could be stuck out in the boondocks in Virginia or anywhere, come back to the hotel after the gig, and Jim would say, hey, do you want to come out later? Why? He said, like, I know this guitarist down the road in this little roadhouse, you know, and it would be someone like Roy Buchanan or whatever. So many things like that occurred that I would not have had the chance to in my life if it hadn't been for knowing and being a friend with Jimmy. He took me to the first South Side in Chicago for the blues clubs, you know. Remarkable. I mean, the music never ended with that man.
Hey, Edison.
Hi, this is Mitch Mitchell of the Jimi Hendrix Experience in the studio for the making of Electric Ladyland.
Make love to you.
Writing in the AllMusic Guide, Richie Unterberger sets the stage for part one of the 35th anniversary of the album Electric Ladyland, and I quote, Jimi Hendrix took psychedelic experimentation as far as he could on Electric Ladyland within the original Experience Trio format, pushing the barriers of late 60s studio technology as far as they could bend, with effects that could only be achieved through certain treatments and manipulation of the tape itself. It also meant greater freedom and looseness in the playing and the songwriting, which could be both a plus and a drawback, end quote. Amidst all of Jimi Hendrix's meteoric rise to stardom in barely 18 months and only two albums, there were huge obstacles to his success both inside and outside his band. For instance, the bass player in the Experience, Englishman Noel Redding, who passed away just May 2003, was a converted guitar player who was previously earmarked for duty in the Animals, the band Jimmy's producer-manager Chaz Chandler had found pop success in. So according to Experience drummer Mitch Mitchell, the one musician with whom Jimi Hendrix played more than any other, it made Jimmy's relationship with Noel Redding increasingly awkward.
I mean, Noel was a more than competent guitarist, but he was a bass owner. Bass guitar wasn't particularly an instrument that he loved. I'm not speaking ill of people that passed away, but he didn't know who Jerry Jamont or, you know, he didn't know the Motown players, or whereas Jimmy did. So, I mean, a lot of the things Jimmy and I worked out between, I looked to Jimmy as the bass player, Jimmy played bass on quite a few of the records, or he told Noel what to play, which was always a bone of contention, unfortunately. Because I do rely on bass to a giant degree, and you do in a trio format, especially in my role with Jimmy, where I had an immense amount of freedom to throw ideas at Jimmy and likewise, back and forth. So we were very reliant on Noel, and he did an extremely good job of holding down to keep a pulse of some description down there. I've got to say, when Billy Cox came in the later years, it made my life as a drummer a lot easier. He was a bass hero. He is a bass player, not a bass owner, and there is a heck of a difference there. Of course, the other thing being in the early days, doing live shows, you know, they generally, well, guitar and bass, they had the big Marshall amplifier, the big stacks, whereas the PA systems for the voice and the drums would go through were like nothing at all. I mean, you know, there were no like side monitors for the, no wedges for the drums for any feedback at all. I mean, you had to look at the guitarist's hands a lot of the time and more or less hope that you were playing in the same rhythm. I mean, in the end, I ended up getting a huge Voice of the Theatre PA system just for the drums. So I had some control over what was going on. I mean, for monitors, but there were no monitors. Monitors didn't exist.
From the autumn 1968 double album by the Jimi Hendrix Experience Electric Ladyland, that's called Crosstown Traffic. Chaz Chandler had discovered Jimi Hendrix while Chaz was the bass player of the popular English blue-collar band The Animals, with hits House of the Rising Sun, It's My Life, We Gotta Get Out of This Place, Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, and Don't Bring Me Down, some terrific all-time rock hits. Yet Chaz Chandler walked away from The Animals to manage and produce this total unknown named Jimi Hendrix. With the 1967 Jimi Hendrix Experience albums, Are You Experienced?, followed by Axis Bold as Love, those two Chandler-produced albums revolutionized music to this day. Here's Hendrix biographer John McDermott.
By the time you get to Electric Ladyland, the third album, it's really Jimi having graduated from that education that Chaz provided him. I think he saw that he had made two very successful albums based on short, compact songs, kind of in that Chandler mindset. And I think he had an idea with Electric Ladyland for kind of this more sprawling, all-encompassing album that would, you know, blend what he at that time was considering a new type of blues music along with other influences that he had, all in one package. The technological change in America, with the record plant being a 12-track studio, fascinated him. And I think Chaz was a little too inflexible early on and didn't give Hendrix the time to kind of experiment with maybe involving, you know, additional overdubs or mixing techniques or things of that nature. I think he just said, you know, look, let's get the songs, let's get in there, let's do it, let's move forward. And I think Jimi really felt, well, he had done that and now was the time to take it to the next level. And that was, I think, one of the primary sources of tension between the two guys. That being said, at the end of the day, one of the reasons why Electric Ladyland is so successful is that it's almost the perfect marriage of the Chandler technique and really focused compact songs like Crosstown Traffic, All on the Watchtower, coupled with these beautiful expansive tracks like 1983 and Rainy Day Dream Away and the long blues Voodoo Child, which were really more in keeping with what Hendrix also wanted to include. So you got the best of both worlds.
Some complications would develop, though, during recording Electric Ladyland in 1968. Hendrix, an American, shifted his all-British band, management, producer, engineer, and recording team to a stateside base. And a booking agent, Michael Jeffrey, would share the role of business manager previously occupied solely by Hendrix's mentor, Chaz Chandler. It was starting to get crowded in the Hendrix horse race, and the field was jockeying for position. Experienced drummer Mitch Mitchell.
Jimmy decided, really, that we just started to spend a lot more time in New York. It was the first, you know, Jimmy actually got an apartment there eventually. It was still like lunacy, really. I was living in motels, hotels. Mike Jeffries, the other manager, was appearing more readily on the scene. I mean, Chaz Chandler had gone out on the road with us quite a lot, was always there, had always done the studio situations. We came across an engineer called Gary Kellegrin, who had this little studio, Mayfair, in Times Square, and we did a track, The Burning of the Midnight Lamp, there. Tiny little studio, but we liked his work. And not long after that, he opened the first of a couple of studios, The Record Plant, which happened to be something, I think it was 48th Street, New York. Now, we were booked in from 9 o'clock at night until about, say, 4 in the morning. Traffic with Steve Winwood, they were in the studio directly before us from the afternoon. There was a club around the corner called The Scene on 46th Street where everyone, the world and his wife, went to have a jam session. And that led to a lot of musicians just coming straight back from the club straight to the studio. I mean, it was absolute lunacy to the point of there was like limousines on hold for like 24 hours a day just to drive two blocks. It was just ridiculous. And Chaz was hating it because he'd been brought up with getting things done very quickly in the studio. I mean, he never let us forget, rightly so, that like House of the Rising Sun cost $10 to make and was done in 30 minutes. Whereas, you know, I mean, that was all done with Mickey Most, and that's the way producers used to work. The first albums with Chaz, things were done very quickly, very quickly, you know. Jimmy loved being in the studio, and, you know, I mean, he just would live there, given the choice, and he did, basically. And that was getting on Chaz's nerves as well.
People talking, but they just don't know what's in my heart and why I love you so. I love you, baby, like a mine of love gold. Come on, sugar, let the good time roll. Hey! Make believe they keep a lot of dirt up their sleeve, but my love, baby, isn't the kind that fools. Come on, baby, let the good times roll. Hey. Hey, baby, let the good times roll. Oh, let the baby come on and let that it through your soul. Thank you.
is understood. It's even nicer when you're feeling good. You got me flipping like a flag on a pole. Come on, sugar, let the good time roll. Hey! Oh, let the good time roll.
That's called Come On, Let the Good Times Roll from the Jimi Hendrix Experience 1968 double album Electric Ladyland. Coming up next, Jimi Hendrix grows exponentially as a musician and as a composer and pushes the limits of studio technology. But not everybody was enjoying the experience. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio for the 35th anniversary of Electric Ladyland by the Jimi Hendrix Experience, Part 1.
Ow! Hi, every time you cough, you kick me. I'm falling out of bed.
That 4-hour cough medicine you bought wore off.
Uh-oh.
Wish I had NyQuil cough. It's made to last all night. I could be sleeping now. Sorry, Binky. I didn't mean to kick you.
NyQuil cough. That stops your coughing so you can sleep through the night. Cough medicine. Use as directed. From the makers of NyQuil.
You love your car. You wash and wax your car. You talk to your car until it has trouble starting. Then you yell at your car, you curse your car, you kick your car in the tires. What you need is DieHard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. DieHard Express is more than a battery service. We give your car's electrical system a complete checkup. We look for common problems, and if you need a new battery, we install a DieHard, America's most preferred battery.
DieHard Express, Sears, good life, great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's the season when you want to make every child's wish come true. And since it seems like so much of what you're giving needs batteries, listen to this. When Phonak Hearing Systems puts a battery in every one of their hearing aids for children, they choose Duracell. So whether it's the gift of hearing or a gift from Santa, it just has to work. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
The Goodyear Stockroom Clearance Tire Sale is going on right now. Our stockroom just can't hold any more tires, so we're clearing out a wide selection of popular Goodyear passenger, performance, and light truck tires. Plus, when you buy 4 selected Goodyear tires, you'll get up to a $50 cash card. But hurry, the Goodyear Stockroom Clearance Tire Sale and $50 cash card offer both end January 17th. Don't let these great deals pass you by. For complete details, call 1-800-GOODYEAR or visit any participating Goodyear retailer.